Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for September 5th, 2008. This week, we'll tell you about new Kevlar body armor that protects against bugs as well as bullets. And we'll hear about silkworms that are spinning lenses and other optical devices. But first, Canadian snow fleas. These tiny, primitive insects survive in the Canadian Arctic by producing a kind of antifreeze that keeps them from turning into little fleecicles. Suzanne Bard spoke with a researcher who's trying to synthesize the antifreeze.
So you're probably wondering why anyone would want to make flea antifreeze.
You're right. Maybe for cars, trucks, snowmobiles?
Try transplant organs. Hearts, kidneys, and other organs have to be stored at cold temperatures. But if they freeze, they're ruined. Scientists think this flea antifreeze could solve the problem and extend the life of these organs. But as you might imagine, it was a little hard to get enough of the protein from the fleas to find out. But now University of Chicago biochemist Stephen Kent and his colleagues have cleared that hurdle. Kent says that past research had suggested that an artificial mirror image of the protein could be useful to synthesize large quantities of the original.
And that turned out to be a correct prediction. We were able to get, in a matter of days, excellent crystals and determine the structure of the protein.
That innovation paves the way for research not only on the flea protein, but on many other proteins that have been hard to synthesize in the past.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, now we have another story about efforts to get useful compounds from insects. Our West Coast correspondent Karina Wu reports on a new use for silk.
Silk may be a luxurious material for clothing and bedsheets, but now researchers at Tufts University have found that silk makes a good optical material, too. They use silk proteins to make lenses and other devices that are usually made out of glass or plastic. Fiorenzo Omeneto is a biomedical engineer at Tufts. He and his colleagues boiled silkworm cocoons and extracted the proteins to form a pure silk solution.
By just pouring it on a flat surface, can be reformed into these freestanding, very clear films that resemble a very transparent piece of plastic or a piece of thin glass.
Omeneto says silk-based optics could have a range of applications. Since silk is biodegradable, it could be made into sensors to detect environmental pollution. And the researchers are currently working on sensors to put in bagged produce. They would change color to indicate if the food is spoiled. Since silk-based sensors would be safe to eat, you could munch them along with your veggies.
Thanks, Karina. Well, even though it's after Labor Day, the hot weather here in Washington, D.C. just goes on and on, much to the disappointment of our cold-loving reporter, Suzanne. So, Suzanne, it may be my imagination, but it seems you're reporting on a lot of cool, actually really cold stories lately. Snow fleas and now mountain plants?
Yeah, well, if I have to live in a swamp, at least I can write about cold things.
Okay, fair enough.
Well, for example, I spoke with French and Chilean scientists about a new report that plants are moving to higher altitudes to escape global warming. They studied 171 plant species in six European mountain ranges, from sea level all the way to 8,500 feet above it. Jonathan Lenoir of the Agro-Paritech Institute says that on average, the plant species have climbed almost 100 feet per decade since 1970. That's when temperatures started rising sharply. But the plants aren't all moving at the same rate, which complicates the picture.
Because if some species move faster than others, you may dismantle plant communities and thus you may change habitats.
And those fractured habitats may be inhospitable to local animals, as well as the plants themselves.
Thanks, Suzanne, and keep the cool weather stories coming. But now we have a material science story. Researchers are working on making Kevlar body armor resistant to biological agents. The work is being supported by the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health and conducted at the University of South Dakota. Yu-Yu Sen and Ji Luo are biomedical engineers there. They coated Kevlar with germ-killing chemicals called N-halamines. Sen says the idea is to kill any germs that come into contact with the material to stop them from infecting the wearer after the initial exposure.
My long-term research goal is to develop something that can be multi-protective.
And in lab experiments, the coating killed off bacteria, viruses, fungi, and spores within minutes to hours, while the same bugs survived on the untreated fabric. Sen says the next challenge will be mass producing the treated Kevlar, and that's going to take further work. Karina Wu has another story about dangerous microorganisms, this time in our food.
When food starts to grow mold, it usually means it's time to toss it in the trash. But blue cheeses have veins of mold running right through them. That prompted listener Joel W. of Phoenix, Arizona, to ask us why that type of mold is safe to eat. We consulted Mark Johnson, a senior scientist at the Wisconsin Center for Dairy Research. He says the molds in blue cheese are specific Penicillium species that don't produce any dangerous toxins. In fact, the mold is what makes blue cheese so tasty.
The typical flavor that you get out of mold-ripened cheeses comes from the mold. Without that mold, blue cheese would taste like feta cheese.
Other molds that grow on food are wild types that could produce bad flavors. Blue-colored molds are usually Penicillium, and Johnson says you can usually cut those parts away and eat the rest safely.
If the food product contains a black mold, which is Aspergillus, that's a dangerous mold, and you just throw the whole thing away because it does produce a toxin.
Johnson says all molds need oxygen to grow, so keeping cheese and other foods under wraps is the best way to prevent mold from taking hold.
Thanks, Karina. When lead paint was discovered on toys imported from China, the story made headlines coast to coast. What we sometimes forget is that we used lead paint and leaded gasoline in this country for decades. As a result, lead is often found in the dirt around old buildings, city lots, and even playgrounds. An article in the journal Applied Geochemistry looked at how children playing in the dirt inhale and ingest the lead, and they recommended new efforts to fight the problem. The most effective and expensive is hauling the dirt away or covering it up with a layer of lead-free dirt. Another recommendation is planting more grass to keep the dust from getting kicked up. If nothing else, the scientists recommend simply wetting the soil when it gets too dry, thereby cutting down on the dust.
And there's more heavy metal news. University of Michigan researchers say that cadmium is a leading cause of emphysema and other lung diseases. The metal is found in cigarette smoke, and it can also get into foods through contaminated fertilizer and landfill.
Thanks, Suzanne. And now this is a good opportunity to remind our listeners not to toss old nickel-cadmium batteries into the trash. Take them to a reclamation center instead. And the same goes for old electronics, car batteries, anything that might contain toxic heavy metals. Just bring them to your town or county or state hazardous waste reclamation center. Study after study is showing how dangerous these compounds are for children and other living things. Well, that's our show for this week. Next week, things that fly. We'll answer a listener's question about how bats navigate with their own echoes in caves full of other flying, screeching, echolocating bats. And we'll tell you how bird brains speed up evolution. We'll also update you on the war against mosquitoes. Until then, check out our Science Update Podcast Daily Edition. We've got a lead-free, no-toxin, organic, free-range science story every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website or at iTunes. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.